You are now listening to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program on Strangelabel.com.
I'd like a Diet Coke.
I'd love to get you one, and we'll shut you up. What do you want?
Can I get some pizza?
You're like 35. The kids' menu is 8 and under.
You should have something on the adult menu.
Oh, my God. Do I look like I'm in charge of anything? All right, that's fine. You know what? Fine. You want to cheap out? That's cool. What are you drinking? What are you drinking? What are you drinking? What are you drinking? Your lemonade is going to be this big because you're ordering off the kids' menu, and I'm not refilling it for you. What do you want?
What you might have missed? That's what it tells you first, right? What you might have missed.
With my idle hands, there's nothing I can do.
Guys, welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program. I am Mike. I am joined, of course, by my co-host, Napier.
What's up?
And we got old Travy P. Pants over here. Hi, Travy P. Oh, Travis, I didn't have you on.
You didn't have me on? You called me a name and then you didn't even have me on.
I didn't even have you on. So, like, all that stuff at the beginning when you were chatting away, didn't get any
on.
Didn't get any of it. People are just going to... Who's Mike talking to?
That feels like how the rest of my day has gone. So,
guys, phone number to contact the show, 636-487-HAND or WFOD show on Skype. Guys, we've got a big show for you tonight. Big show.
Very excited.
So much to discuss.
Games, guests, and talks.
Later on, we're going to be talking to returning guest Asterios Kokonos.
Yay.
Will be joining us. He's got a whole bunch of things to talk about.
Did he bring is he going to bring a new gal? The last time we talked to some gal that he was with.
The last time we talked to him, yeah, I think he was out on a street and he just like grabbed pedestrians and asked them if they wanted to be on a podcast.
Fair enough.
and they all did because who doesn't want to be on a podcast? Hence the reason there are 14 million different podcasts.
And Travis, at the beginning of the show, we played a clip that went viral from a eating establishment in Chicago called Ed DeBevick's. Have you ever heard of Ed DeBevick's?
Is that the one where you go in there and they just like berate you the whole time?
Yes. It's known for that. That's when I was in high school. I had just graduated from high school when a friend of mine was touring colleges, and she said, "Hey, do you want to go down to Chicago with me for the weekend and we'll tour colleges?" And I said, "Yeah, that sounds fun." And she said, "Okay, well, you know, we're going to get in a minivan with my parents." I was like, "That sounds like less fun." But we went, and her parents said, "My God, have you never been to Chicago? Well, if you're going to Chicago, you have to go to Ed DeBevick's."
Who are these parents? There's like such culture and cuisine. There's like wonderful food establishments in Chicago.
No. But the selling point of Ed DeBevick's is if you go there, they're going to be an asshole to you. And that's exciting. It's funny.
So they are purposefully making your dinner as awkward and as fucking horrible as possible.
They just say mean shit to you, and then they bring you a cheeseburger.
You really just have to go into a Denny's and order a Moons Over My Hammy at like 3 a.m. when the waitress has been pulling a double to get that treatment.
See, but I feel like you go into Denny's expecting them to be nice, and then if they're not, then you're caught off guard by it. But, I mean, this is like something that you look forward to because you know in advance, hey, if we go to this place, they're going to be dicks to us. And like this place has been around for a really long time. It's a known place, this Ed DeBevick's. And so I was thinking we should like replicate this and make it a national chain where you can go places. People like being dicks to each other. They love it. You get on the internet, Travis, that's all there is. There's something in us This is something we enjoy, to like see someone and point out their flaws.
Yeah, like when somebody says how much they liked a thing and somebody really feels the need to chime in and says that the thing that they like is a piece of shit.
Nate, yeah, you put on your headphones. I want you to hear. I made an ad for my restaurant idea. It's called Make Me a Sandwich, Bitch. That's the name of the restaurant. I made an ad for it.
It's very catchy.
This is what they're going to play at the front door when you get there. Hello and welcome to Make Me a Sandwich, Bitch, the real world equivalent to the comments section. Let me start you off with a few basic ground rules. First, no one under 21 is allowed here. There's two reasons for this. One, we make a premium on alcohol sales. And two, minors are awful. They're entitled. They're rude. They can't take a joke. They don't tip. And we don't want them in our establishment. You may have noticed that we are being a bit blunt with our language. That can be expected. At Make Me a Sandwich, Bitch, we're rude. Very rude. We will insult your appearance. We will complain about how many drink refills you're asking for. You know, like what you say to people on Twitter. No, we're not going to spit in your food. Our wait staff is going to give you exceptional service. We just aren't going to plaster on a fake smile while we do it. You're going to be an uptight prick about this. We're fine with you turning around and leaving. We're pretty confident that enough people are going to come in here and enjoy a good meal and let go of their bullshit decorum for a while. Our special tonight is country fried steak with two sides for $9.99. Please wait to be seated, and when we fucking get around to it, we'll find somewhere to put you. Thank you, and enjoy yourself.
So a guy just stands at the door, he with an iPad, and he makes you watch that video, and he checks your ID to make sure that you're over 21. And then you can go in, and people will be dicks to you, and you like it, apparently.
It's a theme restaurant.
It's a theme restaurant. Maybe they should wear poodle skirts.
Poodle skirts?
Yeah, some poodle skirts.
I think one of the things that needed to be scripted for your servers would be every time you pay your check and you say, hey, thanks a lot, they say, fuck off and kill yourself.
I think this could be a big hit, Travis. It's the way of the world now. We're all up each other's asses.
You'd have to on the marquee or whatever you have your name on that restaurant, you have to make sure to put a hashtag in front of Make Me a Sandwich, Bitch.
Travis, you were in Chicago this past weekend, weren't you?
I was in Chicago this past weekend. It was the Flashback Weekend Horror Convention that I was so excited for. And I got to tell you, I still feel like a complete and utter dog shit today, even though I was back home yesterday at about 5 o'clock after the commute back.
Napier, Travis was posting lots of pictures on Facebook. You know, he was out there rubbing elbows with big shots. He was out there taking selfies with the celebs. You know, he was out there, and every picture, Travis had a drink in his hand. Every single one of them.
Well, like I said before the show started, the only reason I had a drink in my hand with every picture is because it was at that Saturday night reception where if you were that ultimate ticket holder, they put you in a big ballroom and then they ushered the celebrities in and you meet it and greeted with them in there, and it was a drinking experience.
Do a lot of people take advantage of the big reception thing, or is that...
There were quite a few people in there. It was a big ballroom. It was the one where they did all of the panels that they had throughout Saturday and Sunday, so it fits a lot of people. They just took all the chairs out and put some decent tables in there and a cash bar. They had a local cake boss had made like a Freddy Krueger cake and had it on the table.
Cake boys!
cake boss! Yep, so so there's a lot of people in there, and it was pretty much all of the, the quote-unquote celebs that had tables at the con were in there and hanging out or whatever. I'm sure it was an obligation on their part that they had to be in there, but, you know, most of them were really cool, and they actually, this year, that con got extra expensive. Most of the celebs jacked their prices up for autos. And the last time I was there in 2014, there wasn't one of them that charged you to take a picture, like a picture with them at their table. And this year, I would say 80% of the people in attendance not only charged you more money for the autograph, but also charged you on top of that for a picture at the table.
But you were at the special dinner and so you didn't have to pay them for their autograph?
Exactly.
That or for the pictures?
Yeah, that was kind of the deal, was that this reception, they're in there to be herded around this room like cattle, and then you could take a picture with them, you know, and in charge, you could bother them and say, "Hey, Sean Patrick Flannery, I wouldn't spend the $25 on your autograph at your table, but can we snap a pic here real quick? I'm digging your open shirt look."
Sean Patrick Flannery is the guy who was in Boondock Saints that wasn't Norman Reedus.
Exactly. He's the guy that he's the guy that didn't book The Walking Dead and start a whole brand new career based on that. No, Norman Reedus doesn't come to conventions like this. He goes to those ridiculous Wizard World conventions where he's able to charge $100 for an autograph.
Christ. So because you went to this this special dinner and got your pictures there, did you save money on the deal, I guess? Because able to get your pictures taken at the dinner, and you got mozzarella sticks.
I didn't get any mozzarella sticks. It was a cash bar and they had no food. So
no food at a dinner?
No, it wasn't a dinner. It was just a reception. It was
not even shitty food.
No, there was nothing. There was no snacks. There was just the cash bar. I think they had like a basket of candy bars you could buy that was at the table that they made your drinks at. But I had no interest in a candy bar. I had already eaten like shit.
Okay. So you paid. What did you say? $260 to get into this exclusive soiree?
The $230, I think, is what it was. I'd have to look, but I think it was like $230.
So you were invited to an exclusive event that you got to go sit in a ballroom,
right?
And not eat any food, and you had to pay for your drinks. Like, what did you pay $230 for?
Well, it was because you couldn't get into that reception unless you had that ultimate badge. The other thing, too, is the Robert Englund autograph line, which I wanted to get because I had, when I was a child, I had sent a fan letter to Robert Englund. I was probably 8 years old. You know, back before the internet, you could find addresses for celebrities to send fan letters. And I sent him a fan letter, and months later got like a Xeroxed 8x10 glossy picture of Freddie with, you know, it was like a Xerox signature on it. And I really wanted to get that signed the last time, but I was there in 2014, but could not for the life of me find it. So I tracked it down and I wanted to get his signature really bad. And I remember from the last time too, and it was the same thing this year. If you didn't have that line skip privilege, if you didn't have that ultimate badge, it was a good chance that you were going to wait in line to get his autograph for 2.5 to 3 hours.
So that's part of the deal too, is you get to skip the line.
Yeah, so
it's like those jackoffs who get the special pass at like Universal Studios, so they don't have to stand in line and stuff.
I hate those people. It was Saturday morning, and I had a fucking crazy hotel bar tap beer headache, and was barely functioning really Saturday morning, and the line started. It started lining up at like 9:45. And then they started separating the people with the ultimate badges out and like shoving them in front of the people that were already in line for like an hour. And I'll tell you what, the guy that ran the line made sure to announce, "Hey, what I'm not going to tolerate here is anybody being dicks, because these people are in front of you. They paid to be in front of you. We're all adults here. You could have paid. You can wait in line, but I don't want to hear anybody shit talking to anybody, because they're going to go in before you." So I waited in line for not even 10 minutes. And the only reason I waited in line that 10 minutes was because somebody in front of me, the very first guy in line, had like 11 or 12 different posters he wanted Robert Englund to sign. So at $80 a crack, that dude spent $1,000.
So he just kept getting, he just kept handing $80 for a signature, $80 for a signature, $80 for a signature.
Well, before you go in, ask you.
That's crazy to me.
Before you go in, there's somebody at the table before you get to Robert that says, you know, what do you want? Do you want a picture? Do you want, you know, whatever? And you tell them how much shit you want signed, and then you pay them in advance, so that way the celebrities aren't really handling the money.
All right, Travis, so this is the moment of truth. Let's do the breakdown.
Okay, let's break it down. Are we including ticket price and hotel in this?
Okay, no, let's just do the event. So the $230 to jump the line and go to the dinner with no dinner.
So you got, this is what you got with that package. You got the, you walked in, they gave you the t-shirt for the con. They have a new T-shirt every year with a new design. That's a $30 T-shirt they toss in. They gave you a
I mean, we're just going to say that was a $230 yeah. included.
But that's all it included. Yeah, it included that line skip shit. It included that all.
That's not a $30 T-shirt, Travis. That's a $2 T-shirt that they're selling to you for $30.
Well, it's not that shitty Gildan stuff. It's actually a pretty nice heavy shirt. It's not those $5 T-shirts you buy from Walmart that your nips poke through. It's actually a pretty decent T-shirt. But anyway, they charge you $30. For that shirt. If you don't buy that weekend or ultimate pass, you pay $30 for that shirt. And a lot of people do. They always sell them out. But
okay, so the $230, that is beyond the ticket, which was what? 60?
The weekend ticket just for attendance so you can enter the dealer room that all the celebrities and vendors are in. That is $70.
$70. So we're at $300 right now. Keep going.
Well, no. My ticket included the 3 days. So
okay. So it was $230, not the $70.
Yeah, but $230 got me there and in the con, and those a little bit fringe benefits. So, and then obviously a $200-some-odd two night hotel stay, $5 a day for parking, which ended up only being $10. So that's right off the top. You're talking about $500-$600.
Okay, so we're at $10 for parking. I'm not counting your hotel. I don't know why. I'm just not going to.
Okay. Yeah. That's great. Are you,
autographs,
gas? Are you including gas to get there?
No.
So it's going to be a little bit harder for me to break it down. But I'll do my best. I got autographs from, Ricky Dean Logan. He was $25. I got an autograph from Danny Hassel. That was $30.
Why was Danny Hassel $5 more than Ricky Dean Logan?
Because Ricky D. Logan was awesome, and he was one of the guys that said, this is bullshit. He's like, you want to take a picture? He's like, because I find it to be bullshit that anybody's charging to take pictures at tables. So he was really cool. I didn't even ask him. And he's like, hey, man, let's take a picture or whatever.
Okay, and also, Travis, who are these two people?
Ricky Dean Logan was in Freddy's Dead. He was, if you've ever seen Freddy's Dead, his head exploded. He was in Back to the Future 2. He's been in a bunch of other bit part things. You look him up, you'll see his face, you'll know who he is. Danny Hassel, I don't know that he did much beyond being in Nightmare on Elm Street 4 and also Part 5. So that's where that 25.
So we're at $295 right now just at the event.
And then I paid to get Tuesday Night's autograph. She was in Nightmare on Elm Street 4.
Okay.
She was $30.
$30, okay. Uh-huh.
I paid for Toy Newkirk's autograph. She was in Nightmare on Elm Street 4. She was also $30.
Okay.
I paid for Kelly Jo Minter's autograph. She was in Nightmare on Elm Street 5. I believe she was $25 with a free table pick.
Oh, wow. Free table pick. Okay.
She wasn't charging either. I paid for Heather Langenkamp's autograph. She was Nancy from Nightmare on Elm Street 1. 3, and also Wes Craven's New Nightmare. She was $30 and also didn't charge for a picture at the table, which makes no sense to me because short of Robert Englund, she is like the most important actor that has been in a Nightmare movie.
Is that because she was in two of them?
She was the first one. She was Nancy. She was the first gal that was in it and survived it, and then she came back for Part 3 and died, and then they made, like, before Wes Craven made Scream, he had made that Wes Craven's New Nightmare where he came back and did, like, a weird, like, meta reimagining of how Freddy is, like, really populating in the world. She was in three Nightmare movies.
And all of these autographs that you're obtaining, you're getting on, like, the same Blu-ray, aren't you?
Yep, I'm totally running out of space. It's the Never Sleep Again Elm Street Legacy documentary. It's like an 8-hour documentary on the Nightmare on Elm Street series.
Okay, and so that is a $410 Blu-ray just from this con, not to mention the ones you got from previous ones. What do you do with that, Travis? Do you display it in your home? Do you put it on your mantle?
It's literally always right above my laptop, right in front of my face every time we do this show on Mondays.
Okay, so you look at it when you do the show.
Right next to my picture with Robert Englund and Freddie makeup.
Is it just leaning on the wall, or is it in some kind of box?
No, it's just leaning on the wall, sitting right in front of me on the shelf directly in front of me.
Okay, so we're at $410. What else
you
got?
You get a display case for that.
Where was the last one? I had Heather Langenkamp, right? Okay, so the next one, I got Lisa Wilcox. And she was Alice in part 4 and part 5. She was my favorite. Nightmare 4 was the first Nightmare movie I saw in the theater, so it was right up my alley. I was 8 years old.
How much was she?
I got the table pick with. So autograph and picture was $50.
$50 for Lisa Wilcox. Now, funny story about Lisa Wilcox, Napier.
Yep.
Travis was telling us that the night before he went and got Lisa Wilcox autograph, he met her in the hotel bar, bought her a beer, and sat around and talked to her for a long time and told her that she was his first movie crush and talked to her for a long time.
How Lisa, many sheets to the wind was Travis?
Probably pretty. Yeah, he'd been drinking at the event, and then he went and drank at the bar, and is hanging out with Lisa Wilcox, his first crush. I imagine Travis, were you pretty hammered?
I wasn't hammered. I can remember all of it. I was very cognizant of what I was saying. I apologize. I said maybe I shouldn't say that to you, that you were my first movie crush.
He said, "Hey, when I was a teen, I used to jack to you in your Nightmare on Elm Street movie."
Never said it, and I was 8 years old.
But I mean, that's what you meant.
Well, she probably
it's not what you said, but it was implied.
Sure, I'm sure she's heard worse.
So you go and you buy her a drink. You sit around, you talk to her at the bar, and then the next day, you pay her $50 to sign her name.
I actually bought. There was three of the Nightmare gals at the bar. They went together. It was Brooke Thies, Toy Newkirk, and Lisa Wilcox were in there drinking, and I saw Brooke Thies go up to fill all three of their wine glasses, and I told the bartender, I said, "Hey, I'll catch those." I didn't even, you know, tell them, "Hey, I'm buying you a drink." I just told the bartender, "Hey, I'll catch these guys," and I wasn't really paying attention, and then then I chatted with all three of them, Lisa Wilcox mostly at length, so.
She's in her 50s now. She's still... Did she still give you those feelings, Travis, when you were sitting across the bar from her? Were you like, God, I remember when Freddie murdered you and it was so amazing.
No, she didn't die. She was one of the ones that made it out of the series.
Oh, wow.
Nice, yeah.
Wow. So that's really special.
That's why Heather Langenkamp is special.
Do you root for the gals or do you root for Freddie?
Well, that's a hard call, right? Because I love Freddie. Freddie's great. And you know he's going to come back. So I guess you kind of root for the gals because you know no matter what they do, Freddie is he's going to come back. So
that would probably mean a lot to Lisa to know that you were rooting for her and not Freddie.
Oh, of course. Of course.
Because they're adversarial, you know.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah. It's like a versus situation, much like Batman v Superman.
So we're at $460 right now. We are at Lisa Wilcox. What else?
Next up, I had I got Brooke Thies's autograph. She was $25 as well. Free. She took some weird guy took a couple pictures of us, and then she took like four selfies on my phone. So
you got a real deal out of that one.
That was a real deal. And then obviously Robert Englund. Well, let me see. I think I got. So I got Danny Hassel. And Andris Jones. Andris Jonas. He was Rick in Nightmare on Elm Street Part 4. He was also $30.
Rick. From How part much was four. He?
$30.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. He was $30. So I hit. I got that. I got Heather Langenkamp, Brooke Thies, Lisa Wilcox, Tuesday Night, Danny Hassel, Andris Jones, Kelly Jo Minter, Toy Newkirk. Ricky Dean Logan.
So could we pretty much just look at the roster of people that were at this thing and assume that you got pretty much all of them?
You know, because and then also Robert Englund. And Robert Englund raised his prices from 3 years ago from $50 to $80. So
wow.
Robert,
it's because he's getting older. And so his autograph, when he dies, will go up a lot, right?
It's the Wizard World / Walking Dead effect. Where these conventions were really reasonable until the baby who played Rick's daughter started doing conventions and charging $80. So, you know, the two guys that played Michonne's pets in season 2 for 3 minutes go to conventions and charge $80 a piece. So as soon as those fuckheads started going to conventions, especially Wizard World, which is a goddamn joke, they go in there and charge that kind of money. So conventions across the country, all of these celebrities' agents jack their prices up.
Now,
so
Napier, this is crazy, right? This is all crazy.
Well, I'm used to hockey players. They'll do it for you for free.
Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Next year, when Travis goes to this thing.
Yeah.
It's been 3 years. I won't go again. Not next year. It's too expensive to go every year.
I want to just go and observe Travis in his element. I don't even want him to know we're there. Because I feel like we would alter the way he behaves.
Oh, potentially, yeah.
But I want to see him in his element, running around and interacting with all these weirdos. Like at some point, he took a picture of like a guy dressed up like the Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah,
and it just sounds like fun. It just sounds crazy. All this shit.
It is completely crazy that the Saturday is always the biggest day, and there's like gals dressed up as Freddy. Still looking hot, but with their boobs hanging out. You know, Sunday when I left, there was this fucking, I have no idea what it was, but it's like this weird giant fucking fanged rabbit guy with like a bloody mouth and shit running around, like snarling at people and shit. It was fucking crazy. But yeah, it is a mess. You have to like horror movies because it is, you'll get into an elevator with two Freddy Kruegers and like Sam from Trick or Treat. It's messed up.
You know, for hockey fans, you can just go to one of their practices and say, hey, superstar athlete making like $7-8 million.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you're not going to HockeyCon. You're encountering them in the world.
That is HockeyCon. Going to their practice, going, you know, to whatever they're doing.
But I mean, this is, you know, it's established that you're going to this event to buy a photograph of this person with their name on it. That's what you're going there to do. And I mean, like, there's rules in the, I mean, I imagine that, you know, if you ran into a guy on the street, he'd probably sign something for you just because, you know, he would feel it wouldn't be proper to say, yeah, but you got to give me $20. You know, he doesn't have a cashier with him. He doesn't have a guy standing at the front of the line saying, how many posters do you have? That'll be $80 a piece.
Yeah, but people do go to them to get stuff signed.
I mean, if Travis wanted to get really weird about this, he could probably just find where Lisa Wilcox goes and hangs out. And she'd probably be really happy to be recognized and sign whatever he wants. But that's not what's going on here.
No, this is, you are going in there with the full intentions of spending money and giving them money to sign, you know, whatever you bring them. And also, you know, maybe take pictures potentially on there too. The weird subsect of people that were there, because three of the gals who were in these nightmare movies, Brooke Thies, Heather Langenkamp, and Joanne Willett, they were all also Lubbock girls from the TV sitcom Just the Ten of Us. Do you recall that show?
Nope.
Spinoff of Who's the Boss. It starred like the football coach or something. He was in Who's the Boss a handful of times, and they spun it off into a show about him and his like eight kids. It lasted a really long time. So there was like, there was dudes who were older than me, like a good 10 years older than me, at their tables chatting up the gals about Just the Ten of Us at a horror convention.
And the chat anchor saying you would think that Nightmare on Elm Street is kind of obscure, so this would be cheaper. But I think it's just the opposite.
That's not obscure.
And I don't think it's obscure, really. But I think that, you know, the more niche it is, I think the more expensive it would be, right?
Well, it's the, when you're talking about, like, especially genre stuff, like, the fans are a little bit more hardcore than they are about, like, your summer blockbusters, so they're willing to pay. I mean, I understand completely that I am telling you about Kelly Jo Minter. You have no idea who the fuck this gal is, and I have, you know, like, a tie to her in my head because she was in, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street. Well, it's just like, do you recall when we had the kid who played the boy in Nightmare on Elm Street 5 on the show and how jacked up I was about that?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a part of me. It's always been a part of me. I saw my first Nightmare on Elm Street movie when I was 6 years old. My aunt showed me Nightmare on Elm Street 3, and then I backed up and did Nightmare on Elm Street 1 and 2. And by the time 4 came out, it was, Freddy was like almost just at the precipice of like peaking with Nightmare 4, and they had MTV specials, and I was the exact right age to fall into that. So when I finally got to see Nightmare on Elm Street 4 in the theater, you know, obviously I had seen every single one of them after that in the theater as well as a child, and I grew up with it. So it was a part of my life. So I do understand, like, when I'm looking at this 8-hour Nightmare on Elm Street Blu-ray in front of me, that by the time I'm done with it, and even now is probably close to $1,000 worth of signatures on it. I know that seems crazy, but it makes me more happy than you could ever, ever, like, imagine.
Travis, go refill your beverage.
Okay.
We're going to talk to Asterios in just a minute. We'll be right back.
I guess I woke up this morning with a little case of the fuck arounds.
Do you people ever see a baby so cute you need to remind yourself not to steal it? I saw this adorable baby at Denny's the other day, which is where you'll find the cutest ones. Pancake puppies and babies. And I found myself, like, out of nowhere, coming up with, like, a Batman-style plan as to how I was going to steal this baby. Like, out of nowhere in my head is like, grab salt shaker, throw salt in waitress's eyes, take it and salt shaker, knock out lights, grab baby, run out of Denny's, send baby to college, love baby forever!
Strangely, we like all the same pop culture bullshit that you like.
Here is Mike with a quick update on the WFOD Hollywood Fantasy League.
The Dark Tower opened this past weekend with $20 million and a 35% Metacritic. Flipping through reviews, you see words like joyless and faceplant. It's really not looking good for our third rounder. Taking all that into account, not safe for water coolers' second round selection, Detroit, also released wide this weekend. It has an okay Metacritic score in the high 70s, but finished in 8th with $8 million. The headline on Box Office Mojo said this was the lowest weekend box office turnout of the year so far. Looks like we're off to a great start for the scoring period. B-Rob has the next 3 releases on the calendar. Annabelle comes out this weekend, followed by The Hitman's Bodyguard on the 18th, and It the first week of September. We'll get updates on all of them as they happen.
Here is another financial tip from Drunk.
Try to keep your savings and your checking accounts separate.
Are these God's words? Or are they yours? Once again, WFOD. Wheelbarrow full of dicks. Let's hear it.
I want to be down just for the education. I want a 3-way just for the conversation.
Also, yes.
I was looking at the word guest. Said guest. Guys, welcome back. Our guest tonight has a new game show podcast called Science Friction, featuring comedians bickering over pop culture and spaceship sounds. Asterios Kokonos is here. Asterios.
Hey, hey. Hello.
Welcome back, buddy.
Thanks for having me back.
Asterios, you're in kind of like a creative surge right now. Every time I get on Twitter, you're starting a new project. But I want to talk to you about those. But first, I saw that it was your birthday the other day, and you spent it watching the Emoji Movie. And I want to see if you're okay.
You know what? Look, be easy to take shots at the Emoji Movie. Easy to take shots at the Emoji Movie. I go, I see this movie. My girlfriend, she's a young millennial, and these kids, they love something called cringe. They love cringing at bad things. They love to watch like William Hung. Like, remember William Hung or the ugly lady who it turned out she could sing?
Or Sanjay? Like,
Sanjay.
Remember Sanjay?
I bought Sanjay's autobiography at the dollar store. I have it.
How was it? Is it pretty good?
I didn't read it. I just bought it, I guess, because I'm one of those people. I just bought it to be silly, Travis. Sanjaya. I thought it would be a good conversation piece.
Is that Sanjaya? I thought it was Zendaya.
You guys mean Sanjaya.
I thought it was Zendaya.
Is Sanjay a different thing?
I think Sanjay is just a name. Zendaya is the cast member from the Disney Channel show Shake It Up, who later went on to become the Mary Jane in the new Spider-Man movies, really pissed off a bunch of alt-writers because she's Hispanic.
Her name is Michelle in that movie. It's not even Mary Jane. They just call her MJ for 3 seconds at the end.
Is she Hispanic? I thought that she was like a
black gal.
Kind of. A black gal.
Like, she's mixed race. But she's MJ. She's like they do this thing that they did at the end of The Dark Knight.
Oh right? Yeah, yeah, Robin. Fuck you, Chris Nolan.
Yeah, I know. And now we're not. We didn't even get to see that guy be Batman because it's like, haha.
Gotcha.
From Good Will Hunting, he's Batman now.
See, but anyway, you have to be up with all the things. I mean, like I feel like I have to watch the Emoji Movie. Just so that I can comment on the Emoji Movie, you know.
Hey, man, my
that's what people are dependent on. Travis, they're dependent on my hot takes.
Yeah, my kids wanted to see the Emoji Movie, and we'll watch it once it hits Netflix streaming in 2 months. But I wasn't gonna take them to pay movie ticket prices. It's like $100 every time I take my kids to a goddamn movie. I'm not gonna see the shit emoji walking around with the voice of Patrick Stewart.
So, Asterios, you watched Emoji Movie, but you watched it to goof on it? You went in with it with a sense of humor?
Look, my girlfriend wanted to go in to goof on it, to look down on it. You know, I said to myself, I'm going to give this Emoji Movie a chance. And as God is my witness, it's a functional film. If you're gonna make an emoji movie, make it like they made this one. It's about an emoji who his whole life he's being told you got to make this one face. His dad, played by Steven Wright, love it, and he's like, I want to make a different face. And everyone else is like, all right, well, you're a malfunction, and you need to be reprogrammed or eliminated. Right off the bat, it's a gay allegory. This guy wants to be one way. Society's telling him you have to be another way. Society's saying you're wrong. There's something wrong with you. We got to reprogram you to fix you.
Oh, no. Or, it's like the Christian gay camps.
That's what I'm saying. It's a gay allegory. So I'm seeing this movie. I'm like, not bad emoji movie. Then, guess what? Here's what they have to get to get out of the... To get freedom. Here's where they have to go to be who they want to be. They got to escape to Dropbox. I'm not kidding. The follow the yellow brick road of the emoji movie, or the you know, getting to the Valhalla, Nirvana, whatever, they got to get Dropbox because Dropbox lets them into the cloud. When they're in the cloud, they can be whoever they want to be. And so they get to Dropbox, but then in order to get there, though, they have to leave James Corden behind. So they go back to save James Corden. No, I didn't mind.
I hate this so far. I hate it. I hate this, every bit of it. I hate all of the...
It sounds exactly like the plot of Trolls, but instead of trolls, it's emojis, and there's probably less singing in this one.
Yeah, and it's also exactly like the plot of the Lego Movie.
Sure, yep.
Lego Movie's another one of those movies where it's like everybody... Okay, so let me tell you.
Right, like and just like Zootopia.
So what you're saying is all movies are the same. I guess that brings us to like a bigger picture, really. We're not just talking about the emoji movie anymore. We're talking about the film industry as a whole.
But I got to tell you, though, it's a very specific thing. So here's the thing. It's imagine a movie where you're told you got to be one way, but you want to be another way. So
like Zootopia, where the rabbit wanted to be a cop and they wouldn't let her because she's a rabbit. There's never been a bunny cop before.
And the fox, he wanted to be legit, but everybody thinks that he's a fucking asshole.
Yep, so he said, fuck it, I'll be an asshole.
Yeah, you guys want me to be a fucking asshole, I'll be a fucking asshole.
But the bunny, she persisted, and she became that cop.
So what does this have to do with the emoji? The emojis, they don't want to be, he doesn't want to be the math face. He's the math face. But he has other emotions, guys.
Yeah.
Sometimes, that's, you know, Matt face, he wants to frown because he's sad.
Right. Like all of us. Exactly.
Stereo, sometimes you want to frown, right? But you're a comedian, so you should smile. Right?
That's what I think. Yep.
Stereos, I have a vision of you when this movie was done standing up and clapping with tears in your eyes. Is that correct?
They pulled it off is the thing. It's like there's a character arc. There's a redemption thing. He finds out more about who he is. He returns to Eden having learned something, and he shares it with everybody. I mean, it's you know, fucking... what are their goddamn names? You know, Adam and Eve get kicked out of the garden. It's like he gets kicked out of the texting app, but then he comes back with the fruit of knowledge, more than one emotion, and he creates his own paradise here on Earth, which is a phone. It's a great movie.
He shares it all with the clown.
It's okay.
I'll watch it. I'll watch that movie.
But so how did the kid get guilted into keeping his fucked up phone, though? Because he wanted to erase the phone because it was sending his girlfriend funky-ass faces that he didn't want it to send. So how do you get over that hump?
Yeah, but it turns out that, like, some of those faces are pretty goddamn cute. And so it's like, okay.
By the way, guys, spoiler alert for the Emoji Movie. Spoiler alert. So if you had listened up to this point, don't, because we are going to spoil the Emoji Movie. So, Asterios, you recently went from zero podcasts to two podcasts.
I did.
How does this happen? Like I said, you're going through a creative surge.
I'm having a good time. I got onto Patreon. And so a lot of people, they're paying me money to make art, which I'm having a good time with. And so I'm taking that money, and I'm trying to create content. I'm doing a thing called Science Friction. You can listen to it. It's sciencefriction.fun. It's a sci-fi comedy game show podcast where comedians earn points for having the correct opinion.
I listened to one the other day where you guys were debating whether or not people should keep Gizmo as a pet, because there's always the fear that he might turn into a gremlin, but is it worth the risk?
You got to be a responsible pet owner.
You got to be responsible, yeah. I guess.
There's rules.
Was Howie Mandel the voice of Gizmo? He wasn't he? He did the same voice that he did in Bobby's World.
I don't think so.
Are you sure?
I'm not sure, but I don't think he's Gizmo.
Howie Mandel, he does that.
Right? You keep talking to Asterios about his podcast. I'll look that up for you.
Okay. I feel like he was. And even if it says that he wasn't, I think he was, Travis.
So you don't want to
know. I've decided in my mind it's true.
No, you're right.
Oh, I am right?
Yep. Oh, it was Howie Mandel. Yeah. Good job.
You didn't need to look it up. I already had decided I was right. So you're doing my science friction, but you're also doing something called the 5-Minute Podcast, where people on your Patreon request topics that you just go on for a couple of minutes for them.
Yeah, you know, people will ask me questions like, they'll just ask me random questions, whatever they want to ask, and it's my job to kind of deliver on whatever their comedic premise is. So someone one time, he asked me who would win in the fight between Scott Stapp and Chad Kroeger, the lead singers of Nickelback and Creed.
Scott Stapp, and he's crazy. Scott Stapp would win hands down.
We had him on the podcast a couple years back.
Yeah, next.
Scott Stapp, huh? You really think so?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He doesn't have Jesus on his side.
Oh, he's got those weird alien that permeate his brain.
Yeah, he thinks that like people are invading his brain and sending him like signals to kill.
It's like the plot of the Puppet Masters. So I put my money on Stapp.
The reason I went with Chad Kroeger is that Chad Kroeger's like he's like a wiry little guy. And
that's true.
I feel like Scott Stapp would come out early with a lot of power, but I feel like if Chad Kroeger can just keep like chopping the big man down, running circles around him, eventually I think Kroger's going to prevail. But that's just me.
Well, and Chad Kroeger is also married to Avril Lavigne, so there's that
split.
Oh, did they split up?
I think so.
Oh, Travis, I hate to hear that.
Yeah, I do too. It's really sad.
Oh, wow.
If they can't make it, can, right?
Another power couple. Well, in addition to that, Asterios also put out a album of cuckold-themed Christmas songs.
Ah, I did do that.
See, Napier, I don't know if you know this, but the cuckold, that's like when a guy watches another guy have sex with his wife.
I think it got bastardized because isn't it that the guy is forced to watch his wife have sex with somebody else? Like he's tied up or something, and the guy's like, "Ooh, I'm gonna fuck your wife now." Isn't that the thing?
I don't get too deep into it, Travis, but I know that you know they like to watch other guys have sex mm-hmm. with their wife.
I don't know. I just see a lot of racists calling other people cucks all the time. So
see,
I'm not sure.
You follow Asterios on Twitter and you just see all these things. And I mean, like it went really high on iTunes. I was like, why?
Well, can they find Asterios on Twitter?
At Asterios.
Oh, that's easy enough.
So what was the motivation for the cuckold Christmas songs, Asterios? You put it out in July also, which is not very seasonal.
Well, it's Cuckmas in July. Well, what I did was, there's this guy, there's just like this kind of alt-righty comedian. I don't even want to say his name. I don't want to give him any press.
He's an alt-right comedian?
Yeah. And if there's one thing that that these alt-right people hate, it's being called a cuck. It's like, for them, it's like the alpha and omega of insult. It's like they'll call you a cuck, but if you call them a cuck, it's like the scarlet letter.
Oh,
and
no.
And so I wanted to really get this like dumbass conservative comedian guy. I wanted to like get his goat. So I just released a comedy album where I call him a cuck about 1,000 times.
And so like if you don't know who this guy is, will you not get these songs? Or are they pretty universal?
No, you won't get it, but that doesn't mean you won't like it.
Did you get his goat? Was his goat got?
the album hit number 7 on the Billboard comedy charts and was on the comedy charts for 3 weeks.
Good job,
so you tell me whether or not it bothered him.
So that's getting his goat is success.
Imagine if an album making fun of you sold hundreds of copies and made a guy you don't like a lot of money and will go down in history as having been on the Billboard charts, which means that it is automatically selected for inclusion in the Library of Congress. After the world ends, Cuck Miss Carrolls will survive.
But that's not all, Asterios, because you also scheduled and performed a boxing match with the moderator of the Donald Trump subreddit.
I did do that.
You're doing all these things. You're doing so many things that you can't keep up with all the things you're doing, Asterios.
I certainly can't. I'm tired all the goddamn time because of all the crazy shit I'm doing. So yeah, I will.
How do you fix that? Just take a lot of uppers?
No. You just kind of power through. That's kind of the only way you could do it. You just gotta do it. All right. So here's what happened with the boxing match. So a guy, you know, I'm a big internet liberal. I love, you know, the Michael Dukakis and liberalism and all this good stuff. And so the guy that runs the worst Donald Trump website on the internet, it's called The Donald. It's a subreddit. And he bans me from the Donald, and he challenges me to a boxing match. And I go, I will absolutely box you, because if you are a moderator on Reddit, I'm pretty sure I can beat you.
When you agree to do this, you're pretty much on the assumption that it's probably not going to happen, right?
No, you can tell. You can tell when someone really wants to fight you, and you can tell when someone's just jawing at you. And I know from Jump Street that this guy wants to fight me. And so we do it. About a month later, we both show up at a UFC, 24-hour UFC gym on Long Island at 4 in the morning. We beat the hell out of each other. If you want to watch it, you can go to youtube.com/stairs. You can watch me slap around some weirdo Trump fan and his disgusting half-catkin girlfriend. And you can watch it. You can have a good time. If you want to see two nerds really beat the hell out of each other, you gotta go to youtube.com/stereos. Check it out.
And Science Friction, you said it's sciencefriction.fun?
Yes.
That's exciting.
Science Friction. Yeah, no, it's
all these neat web addresses with the silly dot whatever. We had Taylor Swift dot horse. You remember Taylor Swift dot horse, Napier? That was a good one.
Yes.
One of my favorites.
That's great.
And follow Asterios on Twitter, @Asterios. It's spelled like how you think it would be.
That's exactly right.
So Asterios, in another couple of years, we'll have to do this again and catch up on all your other things.
There's always something crazy happening in my life. And, I'm sorry. It's a little bit late on the East Coast, so I got to get out of here. But thank you guys so much for making the time to talk to me. I really appreciate it.
All right. Take it easy.
All right. Later, guys.
Thanks, buddy.
See, Howie Mandel, he was the voice of Gizmo. And so, I mean, Howie Mandel voiced Gizmo, I would keep him as a pet and just make sure that he doesn't eat after midnight. I'd lock him up.
You know what I love about having a guest return after as long? Like, you discovered Asterios on Twitter. Didn't he write a book that you like a Mega Man, something about Mega Man?
He
or some
wrote a
shit?
Book about the adventures of Millennial Mega Man, or the villains of Millennial Mega Man.
Right. And that was his. I mean, now look at him. He's all over the place. A couple of podcasts. He's beating up weird Donald Trump supporters.
Cuckmas.
It's really kind of exciting.
The Cuckmas, Travis. Siri's freaking out. Or not Siri.
Alexa, she trying to play Cuckmas for you?
Too many gals. I don't know what's going on. Travis, you sent me a story earlier about a couple that bought a street.
Yeah, I just kind of thought it was interesting that was like San Francisco is like a weird like suburban neighborhood, like an estate, like kind of gated community, I think. And these rich people, like apparently they didn't have any kids, I don't think. They just had a bunch of money to throw away, and they just bought the street that all of their neighbors lived on. Their neighbors had no idea that the tiny parcels of land between their houses were for sale. So I assume that is going to turn into somebody wants to buy the fountain that is in whatever neighborhood that is, and the gate itself. I thought that was kind of ridiculous. What's the sense of that?
I don't know. It was funny though. So do all these people have to like pay to drive on their street?
I imagine that you could make them.
There's got to be some kind of easement.
Put in like a toll booth.
Like fucking Illinois. God damn it. I'll tell you what. I forget how much I hate driving into Illinois. It's like cost me like $12 or some odd shit just to get to that fucking convention this weekend. And it's a mess. Shit. It's that toll.
Travis,
it's a mess.
We completely forgot about our game.
It's late. We had stuff. We'll do it next time.
Don't you want to play like one round of our game?
Okay. Yeah, sure.
We will play. Now this could be like a recurring thing that we do sometimes.
We'll do like one every once in a while. Did you say you had a theme song?
I do. Yes. Now, so this is the premise of the game. As you guys occasionally know, sometimes Napier is a bit aloof. And sometimes you get an idea that maybe like he doesn't know things. And so what I thought was that we would play a game where Travis names someone who is currently relevant. And we just ask Napier if he can give us some kind of idea who that person is.
So now it's time for everybody's favorite new game. Does Napier know?
Yay. Travis, are you ready for a round of Does Napier Know?
Napier, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. So let's do it then. Why don't we?
Are you looking at my list? I didn't write anything on the list. Travis is going to be the host. So Travis is going to quiz you on...
Does Napier know?
I'm fiddling with the page, so I keep looking.
No.
Go for it, Travis.
So the first name that I have on my list, and I will be adding to this myself as well, Napier, who is Anthony Scaramucci?
Do you know?
Something to do with the White House.
What does he do?
Press secretary?
That was a trick question because he does nothing anymore.
Yeah, he was.
Oh, he's fired.
He was fired. Yeah.
Yeah, didn't the first press guy quit because he got hired? And then
Travis, that's a basic understanding of who Anthony Scaramucci is.
I think that's just fine, Napier. Good job.
Good job, Napier. I'm pretty impressed that...
Does Napier know?
I think we have time for one more. What do you think, Travis?
All right, let's do it. Okay, Napier, do you know who is John Boyega?
No. The name sounds familiar.
No idea. Was in one of the biggest blockbusters of, I think, of like 2 years ago.
John Boyega is an actor. He was Finn in the most recent Star Wars movie.
He debuted in the motion picture Attack the Block,
He's in the Star Wars that John Boyega.
I highly recommend Attack the Block, by the way, if you haven't seen it.
Does Napier know?
Well, so Napier does not know, Travis.
Napier does not know who John Boyega is. It's a great game. We got through two rounds, and Napier is 1-for-2. So,
Travis, how do those We Buy Gift Card stores make money? Do they buy it cheaper? I guess they sell them gift cards that like you don't want for less than they're worth.
Yes.
And then they sell them for what they're worth?
First of all, I didn't realize that was a thing.
They're popping up all over the place. They're popping up quicker than those urgent cares. I see We Buy Gift Card stores all over the place.
Okay, they buy it for less than face value, and then they sell it to somebody else, also less than face value. So you're kind of the low man on the totem pole on that.
Are they going into all of the abandoned check advance places that are popping up everywhere?
So, like, let's say you get a $20 gift card to Baskin-Robbins.
Yeah.
And you don't want to go to Baskin-Robbins.
Yeah.
So you would take that $20 gift card to the We Buy Gift Cards place, and you would say, I don't want to go to Baskin-Robbins. What can you do for me? And they say, well, this is worth $20. I'll give you $10.
More or less. It might be $13.
So then you take the $13 that you got
in cash
and you're happy because you didn't want to go to Baskin Robbins anyway.
No. And then
they have a gift card that they spent $13 on.
And they might, you know, sell it for $15. And then the next person gives them $15 of real money. And then they have a $20 voucher at the Baskin-Robbins.
How do they verify that gift card is still active and or has a balance on it at all? Because I see that same thing happening on eBay, and I would never buy a gift card on eBay because how the fuck do you know there's any money on it?
I guess you can give them a negative review if it doesn't have what it says it does.
Oh, bummer.
A negative review.
That really is really going to torpedo their business, a negative review.
But, I mean, how do they keep their doors open, making $2 on a transaction when they don't sell anything?
Well, they do those things in bulk. Like they'll have like a website up there, and you can do an online search and find a whole bunch of them. And you spend, you know, pennies on the dollar. The person who bought it gets pennies on their dollar, and then they take the difference.
But I mean, pay like a person to sit there and like make the transactions.
It's like sports memorabilia. You buy things thinking it'll sell. You buy a few of them to test the waters. If they don't sell, well, yeah, it sucks you're out that money, but you don't continue buying.
Buy baseball cards hoping that, you know, I get that really good baseball card that's worth
the one that's got a piece of the uniform on it?
Yeah, like $100. And I'm like, oh my God, I bought this $3 pack of baseball cards and I got a $100 card in it. And I can take it to the baseball card shop and he can look it up in the Beckett and see it's worth $100. And like the guy might give me $80 for it. And all I did was spend three. But I mean, like this is it, like, you know, the gift card is worth $15.
No, here's
what, it's never going to be worth more than it's worth.
Well, here's the thing. You have to look at it like a currency exchange. Now, certain people who go to certain stores, they're more likely to purchase these gift cards online. Like, everybody goes to fucking Walmart. You can move a Walmart card. Somebody has, like, an obscure, like, hobby shop that had these things printed out. It might be harder to sell those. So,
or like a Bass Pro Shop gift card.
Yeah, so a Walmart card that you can move pretty quickly, you can you know, make less on there because you're moving more of them. And one of the lower end, you know, chain stores, you're probably going to give the guy less because you expect that to sit on a shelf somewhere for X amount of days, taking up room, taking up inventory space. So you give them less, you're probably going to make less on it. But, I mean, you still have that service for those people that, you know, oh, well, they'll go to this place. What if they want to go to Walmart or Best Buy or one of the big box stores?
I kind of feel like you should just be doing that eBay thing or a website because people just don't want to leave their house. So you're paying for, like, retail space to sell these gift cards. It's like a GameStop situation, although GameStop has broadened their horizons a little bit. But you look on eBay and people are willing to spend, for the most part, you look at a Home Depot gift card on eBay and it's $200 and somebody pays $199.53 for it. Like, I don't understand the point of that. And actually, one time when I was actually monitoring that shit, because I had some gift cards that I got from a survey-taking site, like, your option was to cash out into gift cards, and I was kind of, like, monitoring to see how, you know, if you could sell them, because I didn't really want to use it as well. And I actually one time saw a $100 Home Depot gift card go for $101.23.
That must have been a bot. That was a mistake. Nobody would do that.
I assume somebody's an asshole and would like gotten that weird eBay bidding frenzy where they're like, I'm going to get this motherfucker, and didn't realize that they just threw away $1.23.
See, you put out a Christmas album in like June or July, though. I mean, like, Travis, if Robert Englund put out a very Freddy Christmas in June.
That might have actually existed back in the early 90s, late 80s.
You wouldn't buy it in June, would you? Why would you buy Christmas songs? It's not Christmas.
What if you put it out in October?
Okay, October, sure. You get in the spirit. Yeah, they got
the stores. Like, what's the release date on that Dogs Barking Christmas album? You know, that might have been...
I'm sure it's in the right season. It's just, I don't understand the marketing, I guess.
Well, you release it, and then you hope that once, you know, once the season actually does pop around, it's easily accessible, and people can get it however and whenever they want.
Yeah, but I mean, it's digital. You can market it anytime you fucking want to.
I guess that's true. It's a way different world than it was when those Buddhist monks put out that Christmas album of chants.
So when you go and you buy all of these autographs and pictures and stuff, do you bring it home and show the wife and say, look at my haul? Like, do you say, look at all the cool stuff I got? Or do you guys not talk about it?
Oh, she doesn't care.
She doesn't care?
She's excited that I had a good time. She's very happy that I had a nice weekend. And I will show her, you know, like I showed her some pictures and I texted her a couple of times over the course of the weekend, like pictures with me and like Heather Langenkamp or whatever. And I did show her the Blu-ray when I came home. And, you know, she always feigns like excitement.
Love of the Friday the 13th movies with her? Like, is that something that you you tried to get her into, and you're like, hey, let's watch this movie together. It means a lot to me. I literally
have nobody in my life that shares my passion for horror.
I don't think that I've ever seen a Freddy Krueger movie. I think I saw Freddy vs. Jason. I think that's the only one I've seen.
You can't appreciate... I saw Freddy vs. Jason this weekend with a bunch of people. Yeah, you can't appreciate Freddy vs. Jason if you haven't seen any Nightmare movies.
That's another weird one, Travis. Why do you go to this thing and waste your time sitting and watching a movie that you've seen?
Watching movies with people, with an audience of people, is completely different. I actually paid because they did a Q&A with all of the cast members from Nightmare 4. And in the hotel's outdoor courtyard, they put like a giant inflatable screen up. And they had an outdoor showing of Nightmare on Elm Street 4. So they did like a big panel and a Q&A where Robert Englund, everybody talked. Everybody had, you know, some stories and some feedback from their time filming the movie. And then they play the movie. And watching it with an audience, it was the first time I had seen it with an audience, like on a big screen, since I was eight years old. And to hear as an adult, like where the beats are that got people excited, you know, where people would cheer or people would laugh. There's something for that you don't get when you just sit at home and watch it on your big screen TV.
See, that's the thing. I don't think that I would get into going to this thing. But I want to go to the thing just to see what Travis does at the thing. I want to observe.
A lot of drinking, a lot of smiling. I walk around a lot and just check shit out and talk to. And yeah, everybody's really cool usually at those things because they know you're sharing.
Do you chat it up with people? You run around and be social?
Yeah, because I do go by myself, and the thing that I found out the first time that I didn't give a shit when Robert Englund put the Freddy makeup on and was doing pictures and things, I didn't have any idea what to expect, and I did not care because I just wanted that opportunity. And I found out in that very first convention that when you go to these things that are, you know, genre-specific, and that includes Comic-Cons as well, you will find that everybody is really nice and is really welcoming and that wants to talk to you about your shared experiences and things. So yeah, I chat a lot of different people up, and You know, there's after parties after the convention and things, and, you know, you kind of glom on to a group of people and kind of just blend in and out. And, you know, every night, I think there was new people that I hung out with. So, yeah, during the day and for lunch and just at the hotel bar, it's it's really easy to talk to people in attendance.
And the big one, the big question,
mm-hmm.
did you mention to any of them that you have a podcast?
I did. I did absolutely mention to Lisa Wilcox for sure. I told, and I do not remember how it came up or why. I think it was because I follow her on like Facebook or whatever, and she posts some things. And I think I had mentioned, I said, hey, I saw this, that you were promoting this. And I had thought about it because I had a podcast about, you know, getting in contact with you to chat with you up. And she's like, oh, yeah, go right ahead and, you know, contact me through Facebook and we'll set something up. So. I did mention the podcast, and I dropped a bunch of those old business cards. I think I'm down to about 15 outdated WFOD business cards. So
I either need to mail you some more or we need to get new ones. I have so many still. I bought in bulk, Travis. I bought way too many.
Oh, I remember, and even the amount that you sent me, man, you sent me hundreds of those things, and literally every single time that we like go out of town to a hotel room or anything for any specific reason, I put them all over the hotel.
I sent Drunk with a whole bunch of them when he went to Colorado to see Cypress Hill, but then he just hung out in his hotel the whole time and didn't go anywhere. So
yeah, for the Weed Fest still that he didn't go to.
So yeah, I guess that. I mean, Travis, do you want to do one more round of the game, or you want to save it?
Let's save it.
Oh, Travis, don't you want to do one more round?
Let's do one more round of. Does Napier know? Yes. Do you know who is Black China?
Oh, God.
Does Napier know?
It's on the tip of my tongue, but no, it's not going to come to me in time.
Black China is she's a model. She
quote unquote model.
She's a model and she's dating Robert Kardashian Jr.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. I was like, does she hang out with the fucking Kardashians for some goddamn reason?
Yeah.
But I couldn't figure out why she did it. Yeah. Like it didn't
She's dating the Kardashian boy.
He had a reality show and he's got a lot of money, so why not?
So guys, if you think of some that you want to know, if Napier knows, you send it to us privately, and we'll put it on the list to find out.
Does Napier know?
Does Napier know?
Travis, do you have anything else to share? Do you have...
I bought a $20 t-shirt, by the way, this weekend, too, if you're keeping totals. I usually buy a lot more merch than that, but...
What's on the t-shirt? So you got the special t-shirt.
Yep, I got the special t-shirt, and then I walked by. I was actually going to get a few other ones, but by the time I was done with the convention, my cash was pretty much wiped out between drinks and autographs and pictures and shit. So I bought one t-shirt, and on the t-shirt is... the VHS box art for A Nightmare on Elm Street 2, Freddy's Revenge. It's a really nice shirt. I like it very much. I'm excited to wear it.
Nice.
So that's just on the convention, not on gas, not on hotels, of
not on
$615
food.
That Travis...
I do remember that it was a hotel, and when I wasn't mixing drinks in my room, because, of course, I planned ahead... I was drinking $8 Blue Moon beers from the hotel bar. And if I really wanted to splurge, I was drinking $12 mixers. So that also was a thing.
Do you have, what you'd say, like a pick of the week?
Well, Travis's pick of the week is a movie called Beyond the Gates, which is streaming on Netflix. I actually have two. I did a double feature. Well, I back-to-back nights of Netflix horror movies. One of them was called The Devil's Candy, starring Ethan Embry as a metal-listening artist guy who moves his wife and daughter out to this farmhouse where this old lady was killed. And, of course, terrible shit ensues. That's amazing and really tense. Kind of difficult to watch if you have children, actually. But my pick of the week is Beyond the Gates on Netflix. It is a movie in the style of flicks from the 80s where these guys are going to clear out their dad's old video store and stumble upon a VHS board game. If you were alive in the 80s and old like I am, you'll remember board games where you threw a VHS tape in and it kind of followed along as you played this game. And of course, you know, horrific things ensue.
So it's horror Jumanji.
It's horror. That's exactly what it is, except they don't really get transported into a fictional world. The fictional world starts to creep out into their house. So it's a very good flick.
Napier, pick of the week.
No, I don't have one this week.
You're going to be a dad.
Yeah, I've been kind of getting the house ready for all that.
Getting the house ready? Are you putting up gates?
No, I mean,
I mean, it's not going to be crawling for a while.
No, probably not for a good long while, no.
Cleaning up fiberglass?
Yeah, cleaned up the fiberglass. We got one more thing to do. He's got to sand the mud to make everything look even. And then I'm going to paint.
I was going to say, that's not one more thing. You got to paint, too, over the top of that. Shit.
Yeah. I mean, my coworker buddy who's doing my room, he's got one more thing to do, and then we're free to put up trim, paint, whatever we need to do.
Oh, you said trim.
Duh.
Guys, due to upcoming life events in the majority of our lives, we will not be live for the next couple of weeks. We're going to try to get podcasts out, but even that's kind of in question right now. We're in flux.
Yep.
We're in flux.
Eon flux.
So you might not hear from us for a while,
or you might hear from us regularly. We don't know yet.
We just don't know.
Or listen, you know, and if you don't get a new episode the next couple of weeks, just go listen to an old one.
But we've been pretty goddamn consistent for many, many years now. So sorry, might be a couple of weeks.
We could probably get out a clip show. Maybe.
nothing we can really do about it. We'll see what's coming down there. But we appreciate your patience.
We love you all.
So we'll see you soon.
Bye, friends. That's my mama. Mike, I forgot my pick of the week.
You said you didn't have one.
No, I do have one.
What is it?
It's dead dogs. I was driving into work, and there was a dead fucking dog on the highway. Just like half of them looked okay.
But I mean, this isn't like a
and good, half of them
it
was
isn't
hamburger.
A good thing. It's not like you got excited because there was a dead dog. I would say that it probably bummed. Like when I see a dead animal on the road, it bums me out.
It does bum me out. It makes me angry that there are pet owners that do that.
So that's not a pick of the week.
No, I'm raising awareness like they do on Facebook when they put all those dead fucking dogs on your Facebook feed. At least I'm not showing them to you. I'm telling you this is a problem.
So what happened?
Hashtag dead dog 2017. It's going to raise as much awareness as Coney 2012. I'm very excited.
No shit. Every month, there's at least.
So you drove to work, saw a dead dog.
Drove.
That's the start of the story. That's how the story starts.
That's how the story starts. But that's the thing. It's all the fucking time going into St. Louis. I got to see these dead fucking dogs. And there's like somebody will eventually come up and clean them off the highway.
But how do we fix the problem? How do we get less dead dogs?
We should have little dog catchers. I don't know if there's dog catchers anymore. When was the last time you saw a dog catcher?
But are they going to monitor our borders? Are we going to put up a wall?
We need to put up a fucking fence to the goddamn highway. Why do you need like easy runnable access to the highway? What are you going to do other than unleash your dog into a six-lane highway where it gets taken out by a fucking semi-truck? Not a damn thing.
Travis.
Yes, sir.
Do you want to play one more round of our game?
Yes, let's play. What? Wait, once again?
Does Napier know?
Does Napier know? Napier?
Yes.
Do you know who Anna Faris is?
Oh, God, she was in a Scary Movie.
She was in Scary Movie.
Yeah, she was
one,
in
1. 2. I think 1 and 2. I don't think they wanted her for 3.
No, she was in 3. I'm pretty sure she was in 3.
She was married to Chris Pratt, but they just
up until
their separation like, today, yeah. Napier. Does Aww. It make you sad?
A little bit.
Hey, if they can't make it, who can?
Did you just find out that she was married to Chris Pratt just now?
Yep.
And now you find out?
I actually listened to her podcast one time. I like 2 episodes I think I listened to, and he like popped in. It was fairly recently. He like popped in and like made some comments in the background and whatever. It was kind of exciting. And now I'm just thinking, now that they're separating, that he was just banging Jennifer Lawrence when they're on the set of Passengers.
They seemed very familiar, Travis.
Very familiar. Like they gave each other the googly eyes, just like Chris Pine gives Gal Gadot and vice versa, since they did Wonder Woman. So I'm figuring if those two are married, that is going to come to a close really soon as well. It's a hard job.
Hi, guys.
I want you to know it's over.
Well, bye.
It's Napier. Join us live Monday nights at 9, 8 central on strangelabel.com. You can listen to back episodes at wfodix.com. Call in, leave us a voicemail at 636-487-HAND. That's H-A-N-D. Interact with us on Twitter at WFODshow or facebook.com/WFODix. Email your comments to WFODshow@gmail.com. Special thanks to our Patreon sponsors, Brian Kranz, Liquid Lozenge, Harry Balls Anya, and Joni B. Come back next week. We'll do this again, probably.
Hey guys, it's me. We have a Patreon now. I know. You've changed, Mike. Look. We're not going to make a thing about this. The show is happening whether you contribute money to it or not. But if you want to throw a buck or two at the dudes who make that thing you like, there it is. Go to WFODix.com and find it in the Extras tab. Rate us 5 stars on iTunes, too. Fuck, I have changed.
Wedding bells chime, it's party time. I went with Dick. Wait, who's this chick? Shit, it's my ex. She gave me sex 3 years ago. Oh no. Dick makes a grin. She walks with him across the floor, straight out the door. What's going on? This is all wrong. Why can't he see she's my property? Blow up her phone. Hope she's alone and not with Dick. Touching his dick. She should have been mine. Never mind that I already have a girl. Her friend. I'm a fucking cuckold. I'm a fucking cuckold. Days go on by without reply. I need to know how far did they go. Can I still work with such a jerk? Answer is no. I'll kill the show. Start a debate. It will be great. Make a website. This will be tight. What about Dick? Can't let that prick keep his career, his name I'll smear, rape list as proof, his jobs go poof, I will imply to hurt this guy, time for my show, and here we go, make funny sound, wearing a crown, no one is wowed, book disavowed, network is done, I'll spoil his fun, she should have been mine, never mind that I already have a girlfriend, I'm a fucking cuckold, I am a fucking cuckold, now I am broke, and just a joke, a bald man that cries, nothing but lies, now I am broke, and just a joke, a bald man that cries, nothing but lies. Cock, 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 cock.